You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening. It's gorilla thumping. To the internet's only college football podcast. Holly, you had a succinct question, which addresses many of the things that I think we should discuss when talking about the finale to this college football season.
I did.
You did. You had like one question.
Yeah, are we going to have a title game?
It's a good question.
Cool.
That's a real good question, because this afternoon came out, reporting in AL.com by John Talty and others, that Ohio State might have some COVID issues, that could potentially push the game back to, and I quote, a later date.
You said that so ominously, like it'd be 2037.
A later date is an ominous phrase. When you hear a later date in life, it usually doesn't mean anything good. It's usually what you hear at the end of a job interview when somebody says, hey, we'll contact you at a later date.
What if it's some shit you don't want to do?
What if it's Kristen Sabin and you're going to court?
For punching someone?
Yeah.
Yeah? That would be a later date. Yeah, we can discuss that. Like courts.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, you would hear that.
Sorry to beat you to the punch there, Spencer.
Jesus is coming back at a later date.
You know what? The hits just keep coming, Ollie. That's amazing.
Also like Kristen.
Yeah, Jesus coming at a later date. Godot coming at a later date. Your sentences.
Avatar sequels coming at a later date.
Yeah. Half-Life 3 coming at a later date.
This is all really hit or miss.
Do you think Jesus is waiting on the Avatar sequels?
Yes. Yes. James Cameron is going to make it happen.
I think
James Cameron has the same initials as Jesus Christ. Think about that.
I think the Lord knows the movement of every sparrow in the heavens, but even he doesn't remember shit about Avatar.
I get to heaven. What? God, what's your favorite line from Avatar? Me, damn it. This is embarrassing.
I think it was when Jake Avatar turned blue. Shit.
And he said, Avatar on three. 1, 2, 3. Avatar.
It was probably when Bob Odenkirk jumped up and said, Avatar.
We're gonna need an avatar.
We're gonna turn need it into a bigger real avatar.
We got a real avatar here.
Dave Wasserman has seen enough. Raphael Warnock defeats Kelly Loeffler.
So Dave Wasserman said that.
What? Dave Wasserman has seen enough.
Oh, okay. Holly's not happy.
No, listen, man.
Holly's not happy. That's it. That's what's happening here.
Holly's grumble really strikes the primordial fear part of my being. Yeah, it makes me
feel like I'm not happy. I'm not happy. That's what's happening here.
I just responding to your growl. That's all.
So, yeah, we may not have a title game going back to this because a couple things. Yeah, Ohio State might not have that. Also, I don't know. What do you do in a reasonable society when a major epidemiological event affects the scheduling of certain non-essential activities, like a college football final? You would say, we'll pick it up at a later date.
You play on!
Okay. I'll take that bait, Ryan. Even if you play on, what would you say between the two parties in this particular game? One might not want to do something like, I don't know, accuse them of cowardice or wanting more time to let a star quarterback recover from a major injury or even a minor one. What, you wouldn't do that, would you?
I wouldn't, but my dad is just some regular dude, not the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
That would be at Kristen Saban S. That'd be Kristen Saban, daughter of Alabama football coach Nick Saban, who tweeted earlier, "If you're not confident to play, then say it. I call BS on the COVID cases." I'm not even through the tweet. That's the first two. They're just worried about their QB and want him to have more time to heal. If he's hurt, put in your backup. You didn't see us postpone the rest of the season to wait for Waddle. All caps. Bye. Posted 4:19 p.m. January 5th, 2021 from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Please note location and timestamp, 4:19 p.m. She sounds like she needed to chill.
She did chill. She did chill. Dialed it down, walked it back.
Yeah, sure. Not before Cardale Jones tweeted back, quote tweeted it with laughing, crying emoji. Sure you want to face another backup from OSU? You know what happened last time, right? ...
On the plus side, they can't hurt Oregon again.
That is true.
So
they can't hurt my beloved Ducks.
Silver linings.
That's true. We may not. What is, if you said at a later date, and they actually push this back a week, that means it will have taken, I'm going to say 3 years to play this season yeah. in full.
At some point, we're pushing into the supposed FCS season. So we could do a doubleheader of some sort.
Can we just do an FBS FCS handoff where we play the title game and then we roll directly into the opening game of the FCS season?
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, at some point, we're just doing the NBA thing. They had, 2 months off, right? Something like that between.
Yeah.
the finals was during this football season, and NBA is already back and running. That's what college football is going to have to make sure
I think
everyone is somewhat healthy, I guess. Obviously, this is, whatever's going on with Ohio State, and I think both athletic directors came out and said, yes, it's fine, we're probably going to play. Whatever's going on, it's easy to make assumptions and all that. The one thing I do want to note is both Alabama and Ohio State, both of you have immediate family members of legendary championship head coaches who post online denying COVID. One of them has at least apologized. The other
works as a nurse at Ohio State.
The other is a nurse who could be on her way to Jacksonville, Florida, or Los Angeles, California, and will presumably just keep posting.
at the Ohio State School of Crazy Medicine. Okay. Crazy medicine. It's like normal medicine, but crazy. Yeah. Who could be on the way to Jacksonville? Because that's exactly what the Jaguars need, is a coach who can't physically stand losing. Like, it actually, we really considered that like, the Jags were like, we need a coach who's going to have a professional football team in their hands. Let's get somebody who's actually been made physically ill by losing.
The Jags are 2-13. It's week 17. Urban Meyer is standing there shaking, and he looks over. Jackson DeVille is on fire, and he says, that guy, that's the one guy in here I need on my team. All the rest of you get out of here. Keeping the fire cat. That's it.
Just see, like, Urban's arm falls off. Just drops off.
Do you know how many games Urban Meyer has lost as a coach in the 17 years he's been doing that job?
A bunch 1 year in Florida, and then otherwise, like, none.
I want to say something like 24.
It's 32.
Yeah,
The bunch of that 1 year in Florida was an eight and five year. So how many years would it take him to lose that many games as head coach of the Jaguars?
Just one.
Four. Okay. Just one.
Different answers. Good. Love it.
average amount.
That's a superb answer. Yeah, I could say, like, reasonably, given how bad the Jags are, you say one. I mean, I'm going to say this philosophically, not possible. Are philosophically possible, mathematically not, right? I think he could lose that many in like three seasons.
The worst season he's had is that 8-5 year. He's both in terms of total losses and winning percentage. I mean, unless you count, you know, the whole 2018 Ohio State year where he had quite a fun off the field experience and got held out of a handful of games, but. Just going on wins and losses, yeah. That's the worst. And, like, it's very... it seems likely that he'd go at least... like, best case, 9-7. That's a huge stretch for me to say 9-7. But that seems right. And I don't know how he would handle 7 losses.
There's
no data here.
The irony of having... a very high pressure job, like an NFL job, where failure is all but guaranteed for even the best in a difficult year, where you're going to, like, you will lose games. You know, 10-6 is a real good season. That's an amazing season. 11-5, it's an awesome season. You go 12-4, whew, we're getting to, like, the stratosphere of excellent. If you like, lose 11 games in a season. There's some really good coaches who've lost 11 games in a season.
Bill Belichick did it. did it his first year in New England and his last year in Cleveland.
I think he's going to have to draw strength from an earlier source in his life. He's going to go back before he was a head coach, all the way back to an organization that for a long, long, long time prepared many people to deal with losing. He played in the minor league baseball system for the Atlanta Braves. In the 80s.
Did he have a mustache?
I gotta assume so. Okay. But.
Yeah, everyone, you were legally required to.
I was gonna say, I feel like the Braves in the 80s were like the inverse of the Steinbrenner Yankees, where Steinbrenner was like, no long hair, no facial hair. And the Braves were like, slap a goatee on it right now.
Yeah, I mean, when Ted Turner is your like local demigod, like, yeah. You gotta have a mustache.
Here's a soul patch. Get out there. Shag some flies.
Everyone answer the question. What are you working for? The Weeknd. That's right. Everybody's working for the Weeknd.
But we play games on the Weeknd. Shut up.
We're all working for the Weeknd.
I don't care that we play games on the Weeknd.
Excuse me.
Everybody wants
right.
a what?
I got to get some water. Y'all keep going or whatever.
A new romance. That's what we want. Yeah, I cannot imagine this working in any way imaginable. Not for the usual college football coach reasons, which would be like Lou Holtz making the Jets learn a fight song. Please remember that Lou Holtz tried to make the Jets like learn their own fight song. Please imagine this. Please imagine how well a New York Jets fan handled this news.
Probably well.
Probably yeah, good. No. A freaking song?
Wow.
He's got him doing musicals.
Speaking of musicals, yes. Oh, you gave me.
Well,
you gave
he
me
walked
the end.
Into it.
Idiot. All right,
oh,
Spencer.
No.
The game has
no.
returned when you least expected it. And guess what? These are all listener submissions. All three. Again, the rules are simple. I'm going to read you the title and a brief description of three musicals. Two are real. One is not. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Number one, The Boys of Camp Winnemonco. When the boys and the alcoholic counselor of Cabin 5 accidentally set up camp on the land of a mysterious farmer, they're kidnapped and forced through a series of mind games through which they learn not just about survival but about each other. This show surprises its audience by killing off a different camper every night. That's The Boys of Camp Winnemonco. That's your first choice. Choice number two.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
If you made that one up, that is an ornate and beautiful piece of imaginary work.
Choice number two, All American is the title. Professor Fedorsky immigrates from Hungary to the United States to teach at the Southern Baptist Institute of Technology, where he winds up applying engineering principles to football and leading the team to the Cotton Bowl until an unscrupulous advertising executive decides to exploit his newfound fame. All American, that's the title of that one. Your third choice, Dogfight. A group of young Marines gathered in San Francisco the night before they ship off to Vietnam decide to celebrate their last night of freedom with a cruel game they call a, quote, dogfight, where every man puts money in a pot, sets out to find a party date, and the man with the ugliest date wins the pot. That musical, Dogfight. Which of these is the false musical?
I'm going to say for the first time in the history of this game, the brief history of this game, I am flying totally blind here.
Okay.
I do not have prior understanding or knowledge of any of these three, and I'm just going to have to go by, if not sight, by faith. I think that the second one sounds like the made-up one, so I'm just going to go with that and say that All American is the fake one.
Ryan, I told you.
All American is a real musical, Spencer Hall.
Ryan, I told you he was going to bite on that.
I overthought it because I bit like three times. I was like, oh, that would be the one he made up. No, but it wouldn't. But what if you reversed me? A true reverse.
I didn't
not
make
just
it up.
An end around.
I didn't make it up. Mel Brooks made it up. He wrote the book to All American.
Wow.
Which ran on Broadway for 80 performances in 1962 and drew mostly unfavorable reviews.
You're kidding me. That is an amazing piece of cultural history, Ryan. Yeah.
Again, these all three of these, I didn't pull the listener names because I don't know if people want to be associated with the show or with me or any of that. But thank you to the three listeners who sent in the two fakes, the two real musicals and the fake. The fake was from a listener as well.
What was the fake?
The fake musical. Well, okay. No,
wait,
give him another
give him another guess.
Is the fake one the first one?
The fake one is the first one.
Yeah, the ugly date pot is basically every musical ever.
It's kind of true. Mm.
I am.
Do I desperately want the first one to be real more than any other fake ones we've had before? Yeah. Yeah, I do.
That is amazing.
Not just for the prospect of killing summer campers.
I was trying to think the staging on that one is pretty spectacular.
Doesn't have to be.
Right?
No.
You could do it in a black box with a campfire right in the middle of the theater.
I like that you're already plotting it.
You could do it in the round. Like
that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Like the Oklahoma revival they just did. Which was supposed to be very good and had crockpots all over the stage too. And I think you got to go up to the stage and like get chili out of the crockpot if you wanted to.
Oh, God. We did that for fucking Inherit the Wind when I was, like, a freshman. It was awful.
Wow. Who played... Who did you have any, like, Dennehy-worthy people?
Oh, worse. This was at Tennessee, so it was always David fucking Keith.
Okay. Yeah.
However, on occasion, it was also Dale Dickey, who was a goddess.
Fair. Well, Spencer, you've been got once by our listeners and none by me. And I think that means I should quit the show forever, but I won't. Tough shit.
I think this is just an invitation to the listeners to keep the streak going.
That's
keep
true.
It going.
Yeah,
right?
send in more suggestions. There are more that I haven't gotten to, obviously.
Hashtag Ryan Streak.
Yeah, that'll, yeah. That'll work.
Streaking Ryan.
That'll work, I guess.
Lion Nanny.
How yep. bloomed was his onion?
Bloomed.
Bloomed. Yeah. So no, again, great work, listeners. I am impressed. I take this loss with equanimity and tip my hat. I will be back for this. Tonight was a Heisman. I don't know. Did y'all know I have a vote for that? I have a vote for the Heisman.
Oh, do you? Still. Okay. Still have
yeah.
a vote, huh?
Still have a vote.
Are you ever worried that one year they're gonna be like, yeah, no thanks.
They're gonna clear the voter rolls and like
yeah.
We got, purge me.
Yeah. The Spencer's dead.
This was my ballot. You want to hear my ballot? Because I have a vote.
Not really.
So I'm going to tell you.
Home field apparel.
I heard yes. I heard a yes in there. All right. Your eyes were
was
saying
that,
home field
was
apparel.
Was it Server that said yes? I don't think it was Server. Server, did you say yes?
Mm-mm. No.
Server sounding good tonight, folks.
Server recording from inside the full cast paint.
Server's recording from the shutdown full cast 2012 to 2019.
A lot of people yeah. will tell you that under 30,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is shut down at Disney. In fact, it's nope. where Server records this podcast from.
Under the
sea. we're going to outro this with the Bubba Sparks Little Mermaid remix, right?
Get it right.
Get it right. Get it tight.
There's a chance the Server has never heard this.
Well, we're going to fix that.
Hang on.
Do mermaids technically have booty?
Yeah. They do after this.
Okay.
I mean, for one, they have to excrete solid
that's,
waste somehow.
That's different. You're just saying that they have an alimentary canal.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, we all know you have to have some sort of a...
They have a
If you're
what?
A humanoid, you have to have some sort of a cushion around that. Some sort of
I
a,
mean,
a curvature around
but,
it.
But,
all people are essentially tubes, right? I mean, if you've never heard this, it is amazing.
Bring it back to me. About a month or two.
And what's weird is Disney signed off on this.
They did.
Man, this is easy podcasting right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being a radio DJ is a great scam. This is easy.
Just got to hit the post.
Just push the fucking button.
On
kick back and watch the money pile up.
The Weasel!
Darling, It's Better Down Where It's Wetter could have been a Bubba Sparks line.
That is true.
That's true. But no, I don't think fish have butts.
Well,
they
aren't mermaids aren't fish.
Yeah.
The relevant half is fish.
Yeah, but you look at the way it's drawn. They're drawn by perverts.
Ryan, I'm also disappointed that you would not consider the entire mermaid worth considering, but merely the relevant.
I just want to know if Ariel has a dunk or not, okay?
I mean, I think there's a large portion of the internet
God, Ryan,
that has
really
that
expensive.
Has studied this issue and would conclude in the affirmative. There are probably numerous subreddits that will give you an opinion on this that you don't want.
Because look, I know. Listen, we all know Elastigirl's got a donk. She's got that big old mom donk.
Sure.
But so
no
I
one
know,
denies it.
I know Disney is up for it.
That's I will tell you this. This song's amazing. It's not gonna stop for a minute.
It's a good part.
Oh no!
I mean, Ursula's got a butt.
Ursula's all butt.
Yeah,
Ursula's,
but
yeah.
The funniest version of the Little Mermaid to me are the ones where mermaids and mermen go pleading with the gods of the sea and land. Please, please, let me take to the land so that I might have a gigantic donkey ass. Please. Like, some merman, like, crawling to shore being like, all I want to do is have legs.
Here's the bridge.
Key change. Oh God. This is gonna get us sued somehow.
Who's gonna sue us, Bubba Sparks or Disney?
Bubba is, of course, a George football fan and Alabama basketball fan.
Sure.
So that is a unique pedigree.
Bubba's my Twitter pal. Bubba, please don't. We love you.
I would say there's like a 0.01% chance Bubba will just listen anyway. Like if we put
Wait, here we go. Finale.
If we title it something Georgia football, he might actually listen.
That's our show. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, everybody. That's great. Yeah.
Does Bubba Sparks?
Thank you. Thank you to SoundCloud rapper TLD Royd.
It's pretty good.
Too long didn't Royd?
Correct.
Yep.
He's a strength coach.
Yeah, definitely a strength coach.
It's all natural. I worked out too long. Did not Royd.
Did. I came out of the sea. I prayed for a gigantic donkey ass. Put one on the back, and I became the squat king of Central Florida.
And King Triton didn't give me one, so I just squatted till I had one.
That's it. I'm so sidetracked now. For what
you were talking
honestly.
About, Ohio State.
Yeah, what is King Triton's strength program like underwater? Like, how's he getting that big?
Well, you know he skips leg day.
Yes, definitely. But also, like, what is he? He's mostly doing cardio, right?
Water is great resistance.
Yeah, but that's not going to get you bulk, is it?
No, evidently. But like, look at.
Like, shouldn't he look like Michael Phelps?
He's holding up the whole goddamn ocean.
He's not holding it up. What are you talking about? He's not Atlas of the sea.
Triton is the Atlas of this. God damn it.
Not in the movie. He's not.
I mean, have you ever seen a ripped dolphin? They're not. A seal. Think about a seal. A seal is amazingly strong, but it's not going to be cut. It's going to have the power belly, right?
If you're at the bottom of the ocean and the whole ocean is pushing down on you, you're essentially holding up the ocean. Let's bring on our friend James Cameron.
That's not how this works.
Yeah.
If
the part of the ocean that is not you, everything above that is being held up by you, as well as the water that is alongside you.
So you're saying the strongest animals on Earth, if I'm understanding
you correctly. Yeah, it's the weird blinking shit down there that, like, you look at it and they're just like, fuck you.
And
you're like, sorry, sir.
That's why they look that way. They're like, I don't have time to look pretty. I'm constantly in the gym.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is a joke. Okay, this is a joke that's just for Ryan, but I promise it's fucking hilarious, okay? Ryan, we're going to make a musical about the creatures that live around the little geothermal vents at the bottom of the ocean. You know what we're going to call it?
What?
Spring Awakening.
really broke the foot off into shit.
Andres Cantor worthy.
Is everyone okay?
I think I'm.
Oh, baby, I wouldn't even try him.
So, like I said, my Heisman ballot was.
No. I will do it again.
Is King Triton on it?
He was second.
Really?
Acorns.com/fullcast.
It was Devontae Smith.
God damn it.
Second was.
King Triton had no yards at all.
None. Najee
Harris. Man's never even seen a yard.
I had Najee Harris second. And then third, I had Jarrett Patterson. Because, you know, that third Heisman slot. Let's just give Jarrett Patterson some love. Buffalo's finest.
Kay.
There. Only had to talk about mermaid butts to get there.
No linemen, huh? Not any good linemen.
No, no linemen this year.
That sucks. They're all pretty bad this year.
I can't think of a dumber thing to do than to say, yeah, every college offensive lineman, they were pretty disappointing.
they were all average.
They were all okay. Just get the fattest, meanest men on the field really mad at you.
Did they release like the full, like here's everybody who got a vote?
Okay. Yeah, it's probably out already.
Okay.
It better be. It takes them way too long to count this. way too long.
We got to wait for mail-in ballots, and then there's the military ballots from overseas. And
yeah, do we have to see if any dead, like, did anyone vote twice? Was there voter fraud for the Heisman?
So we have the top 10. Devontae, Trevor, Mack, Trask, Najee, Breece Hall of Iowa State, world's greatest running back for the playoff committee, Justin Fields, who played about 6 minutes. They're all pretty good. Zach Wilson, Ian Book, and Kyle Pitts. So Florida had exactly as many top 10 guys as Bama had top three guys. Still pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, Kyle Trask didn't really finish strong. That's just IMO, a hot take, didn't really finish strong enough. Maybe losing
but,
LSU.
But again, better than all the linemen, all of them everywhere.
Yeah, they're all pretty bad.
I didn't see a lineman throw a single decent pass this year.
Wow.
So, sorry.
You're going to get emails now. So,
I'm going to get
from linemen. Yeah. Yep.
Emails with barbecue sauce on them. Dear idiot.
dear little idiot.
Dear tiny. That really should be what all linemen do in response to any insult. Hey, little idiot. Dear tiny moron. Up here in giant land, we see things a little differently. Has anyone's coach left yet? Did anyone get fired? Is that still happening?
As of the last hour?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I would like to point out, so, you know, let's get a few things out of the way. The full cast has magical powers. Yes. Can we control them? No, because on the last episode, I said by the time that episode came out, Dan Mullen was going to get the Jets job. We're here recording the next episode, and Dan Mullen did not get the Jets job. So, no, like, I understand people want to people tweet us and are like, hey, why don't you just talk about how, like, COVID magically disappears or some shit? Like, we can't control it. Okay?
Right. When does that end, though? Because, like, this episode is not out yet.
No, yeah. The powers could still happen, but I'm just saying, like, I think we have tried to use our powers exactly twice on this show. Once, last show, I tried to get Dan Mullen the Heisman.
It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Right. We tried to get Dan Mullen the Jets job, and we tried to get Henry Kissinger dead via skateboard accident. And those things have not happened.
No, we didn't. We just wanted to see a Molly over a trash can.
I thought we wanted to die in the skateboarding.
I think
definitely
it was
didn't want to kill Henry Kissinger.
Ryan, I realize as our attorney, you have to spell out exactly what.
Sure.
What
I'm our attorney now.
Holly would be a great attorney because, like, a witness would just get up there and say something.
Filing my teeth to points while maintaining unblinking eye contact with the opposing counsel.
Witness would be like, I saw Spencer going to the bank, and Holly would just be like, no, you didn't. And the witness would be like, maybe I did. I don't know.
Great. Great. Get in it.
I think you would just do your negotiating tactics at them, right?
Oh, do you want to? Have we ever done this on the show?
Yeah, but that when you try to
don't tell people about this. It makes me sound psychotic.
It's a very effective negotiating tactic that I think more people should try.
All right, how do we do this? What's an example that What's an example that we've done in real life?
This. Hey, you know what? I think that should happen at 12:00.
It works better with money.
Okay. $5. I will give you $5 for that.
$10.
I will give you $6.
$20.
I will give you $6.50.
$50.
I will give you $10.
$100. It's an offshoot of the don't start none doctrine.
Sure. It feels very
overkill.
Hans Gruber, where, like, Spencer's
overkill.
Like,
look, listen, what's the point of underkill?
That's where the good meat is.
It's in the underkill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is how you would be on the stand with somebody, right? You wouldn't bother to say, like, oh, I've established that you've lied about that. You would just basically badger them until they admitted it. It would be
yeah.
And the judge would be like, move along. And you would go, no,
no,
I'm not going to do that.
No, I'll stay right here. No, nobody's gotten any new jobs yet. They're interested in the jobs. The jobs are out there. Hmm. This, I will say, this is, so most of the time I think college football is funnier and more interesting than the NFL. the coaching cycle in the NFL is the one exception, and I will tell you why. There is this thing that happens in the early stages of the coaching turnover process, where the coaches that are going to get fired, and then the next thing happens. And keep in mind, this is while the NFL has, you know, puffed itself up as, you know, 100% grit, nothing but fighting through pain, next man up, business, it's a business and a sport and an honor, shield ball, right? But then the thing happens where the franchises that want to go after certain coordinators who are, like, occupying the playoffs have to get extremely courtly about it, where they're like, dearest Kansas City Chiefs owner, it would do me the great honor if you would release your offensive coordinator for one day of merriment and interviewing with a humble franchise with your permission at a date to be determined at your convenience. They have to go around and do this whole bullshit act where they're like, may we please meet with your coach to discuss future employment with us. And the franchises can just be like, no, you can't do that. That's my eldest son, and I won't let him date you.
Yeah. You're asking some dude, like, you're courting some dude.
Yes.
Some dude like Jerry Richardson. And announcing your intent.
May I court your daughter?
May I court your offensive coordinator?
I will bring her only the finest of hardest dishes.
Sir, I would like to announce my intent to wed your defensive coordinator.
To first wed and then whelp. I'm so glad you brought this voice in, because this is how I always imagine Jason Garrett talks every time I see his face.
Huh.
It's like a cross between that and John Lovitz doing Tales of Ribaldry. Mm. I'm Jason Garrett.
I enjoyed the
maybe with a little bit of King John in the cartoon Robin Hood.
Sure.
That fox that everybody wanted to bang.
Including the thumb sucking.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Jason Garrett has a dirty thumb.
He did go to Princeton, so he doesn't wash his hands.
This is how everyone from Princeton talks.
I love dudes in the NFL who somehow bypass any...
Now I have a voice.
It's so disturbing.
It's great. No, it's
I have
good.
A terrible voice.
Now every NFL coach is named.
The tall lady on Good Place is the voice I'm getting here.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I love dudes in the NFL who've somehow gotten to this point without ever actually having done a decent job coaching anywhere at a lower level. You know, they're like, what was he? Well, special teams coordinator at Mississippi State. He was at Pittsburgh State, you know, the Gorillas, for 9 years and won approximately 7 games there. Don't ask how. 7. And then I don't know. Then he became the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants.
He was off the grid for about 3 years there. Nobody really knows.
then he went to work for, Ron Turner. And now he's the head coach
of
the Chargers.
He was Ron Turner's pool boy, just so we're clear. Yeah, like, not football related.
Like, how? They're like, yeah, he did great things at East Illinois. And then, I don't know. He got a gig with the Packers. Like, there are so many dudes in the NFL. I'm like, I don't really expect these to be direct pipelines and completely overlapping, but I sort of kind of expect to go, well, I've sort of heard of that dude. There are dudes who pop up in the NFL, and you're like, this says you worked at a sunglass hut 7 years ago.
There's also,
which is weird.
So I think there's this thing. There, every year in the NFL, say there's like 6 open jobs. Everyone agrees who 5 of those jobs are going to, right? Like this year, Eric Bieniemy, the Titans OC, the Bucks OC. You know, there's like this short list of guys that are like doing musical chairs. And then there's the one oddball team that hires the Sunglass Hut guy. It's just, all right, we got a guy from the CFL. That's
happening. Yeah. Now, I think the opposite of that are college guys who get hired that pro people are like, what? Like Cliff Kingsbury. Like, realistically, if you're a professional fan who has no contact with pros, and then you're like, yeah, we hired Texas Tech's head coach. Huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, hey. It's quite possible Cliff has worked at Sunglass Hut. Man wears shades a lot. See? So maybe that's why.
Maybe. I mean, that's completely possible, you know? And then there are guys who are just so old that, like, the people they've coached with, I don't really recognize their you know, entire, like, network, or, like, I don't recognize anyone they worked with, right? Like, Vic Fangio. You're like, how long's he been coaching? 41 years. Okay. Yeah. Everyone who trained him is dead. They've been dead for a really long time. I get that.
He started in the Colts mailing room when they were in Baltimore still. And he never gave up.
That was back when the Colts, it was like the Colts Express. He was literally delivering mail for the Colts.
Yeah, or like this. Matt LaFleur was like just his resume, you look at it, you're like, you weren't anywhere for a real long time, dude, and I don't really know where you came from. One fun thing about Matt LaFleur that you should know, in 2003, he played football for an indoor football team.
The Omaha Beef.
Nebraska. The Omaha Beef!
The Omaha Beef!
The fun
Do you know
thing
what their mascot was?
It's a bull, right?
Yes! Do you know what the mascot's name was? Sirloin!
Nice.
Sirloin! The cheerleaders were the prime dancers!
Oh, Jesus.
That doesn't really make any sense. Nope. So the fun thing about this is I was actually Googling this the other day. If you Google his name in Omaha Beef, you will find a Facebook post by the Omaha Beef saying, hey, NBC wants photos of the Packers coach in Omaha Beef jersey. Anybody got him? We don't have any. We're the Omaha Beef. They had like one photo of him standing by the logo. They're like, please post photos if you got him. And there's like five photos that are like, I was sitting in like the last row, which is like, you know, the 50th row. I was like, I don't know if he's any of these. And one of them's like a guy being carted off with injury. Like, is that him? I don't know. Could be. Anyway, it's a good thing to Google.
But these are the people who, like, who are beating Jim Harbaugh out for NFL jobs.
That's right.
What? Ew.
Yep. And they are doing it while, like, Michigan fans, I think, are hope. I think Michigan fans, I don't know at this point, but it feels like Michigan fans are like, God, it would be fucking great if the Jets just took him. If they just took him off our hands. Fuck, that would be like, it wouldn't be awkward, and we could just all move on quietly. And
I've seen multiple,
we could, like play it as success.
Yeah, like, you know, it'd be really funny if we just end up with Matt Campbell. You know, like, I think they would be fine with that.
Like, it's like he's a valuable car that they regret buying. So they're like, maybe if I just park it on the street, somebody will steal it, and then I can just get the insurance money. And like,
what,
yeah, I'm going to
cuck.
What?
He has depreciated it quite a bit.
Y'all are not going to believe what just called both races.
What?
The fucking Economist.
What? Oh. I was hoping you were going to say TMZ Sports.
This is a little hasty for the Economist. Don't they move at like 1845 speed?
I'm uncomfortable with this.
The Economist is called like the 1912 election.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense. Rutherford B. Hayes ascends to the presidency.
Our Raven has finally returned from the front.
Here are 100 non-bylined words about what the Raven hath spoken.
We asked 100 Civil War veterans, put the answers on the board, please.
We shall think the answer after 11 zoos.
The answer is to trust the magnates. The magnates know best.
Hop on the wires. Let the empire know.
Mill your children for food.
I thought you were going to say, like, David Pollack called the race or something. And you're like,
don't ask him to do math. He's got the prettiest eyes that might bleed. He went to Georgia, Spencer. What the fuck?
I ran to see this tweet so fast.
Guys, I think it's over.
Guys, I've seen enough.
Big things happening here, but I heard something crazy.
Just Desmond Howard busting out a statistically intricate and detailed and accurate scenario where he's like, yeah, I just don't see Purdue having the votes here. Like, look, Dooley County, 98% reported. It's over. It's over.
Yeah, we got to do this. And like the Bears breaking down stats.
I don't trust the Economist for shit. Imagine the Economist reporting on us like they're in the Paddington movie, Darkest Peru. They have built a house of waffles.
A once great empire.
Oh my God. You know they pronounce it Waffle House.
Waffle House.
The waffled house.
In the southern provinces of the...
A deceptive name, given that it is neither a residence nor crannied on the outside.
Oh, God. That's it. We need more economists covering college football. We would be like, you know.
No. We need to go over there.
We do-
Hey, I got an invisible hand for you right here.
Holly, you got your new voice to use and everything. Shit.
Listen, this is the voice that I use to leave voicemails for Brian Phillips, and so far I've never used it for anything else, so nobody tell him I've done this.
I just want to evaluate currencies like football teams to talk about them emotionally, right? We're like, hey, listen, man, the Euro, they took that loss personally. They took it personally. They're using motivation, right? Like that's from that loss, they're going to come back.
That's that different from Mad Money. What you're saying.
No.
I think that's what Mad Money is, where Jim Cramer's just like, you know what? I think semiconductors, like, they're going to rally in the fourth quarter. They're going to get it together. They're looking at each other saying, like, we got to pull together, semiconductors. And that's why they're a must buy. Blam.
That was all that guy did for like 15 years, man. Sitting there hitting the soundboard being like, what do I think about waste management? It's pretty good.
Right.
Trash.
That's all that dude did. There's no evidence he was actually any better or worse than anyone else, just guessing.
That's what Bruce Wayne becomes if his parents don't die. Just sitting in a room
Jim
screaming
Kramer.
Just screaming about business.
This is what we need to do with college football, with absolutely no room for debate, right? We're like, hey, they're the number 7 team. Caller, you're on the air. I think they're more about 9. No!
They're trash!
Trash!
Don't buy.
You could be so rude and shitty to them, and they'd be like, that guy gets it. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
He sees what he wants to see. He hears what he wants to hear. And then he hangs up on his callers. He calls it like it is. Like that guy's
Gary,
strong.
He's like Gary Barta on ketamine.
That's the Johnson family gives you the Jets job for it. This guy gets it. 100% certain about everything he says. And that means he's definitely smart and on the level. I have not seen, by the way, before we tell everybody about a very dear close friend of the podcast, I do want to say I haven't seen anybody.
You talk to God?
Yeah. The sun. I haven't seen anybody try to hire Todd Grantham yet.
I like him where he is.
And I'm not trying to do this because that would put it out in the universe as intent and then it wouldn't happen. But it would be nice if Todd Grantham got the West Virginia defensive coordinator job, which was a rumor floating around about 3 or 4 days ago. Just a thought.
I don't think it works that way. I think it's more of a Ringo situation where, like, once you have to pass, you have to affirmatively, the curse on.
Yeah, I don't think you can just float it. I don't think that's how it works.
You got to, like, leave them at somebody's doorstep and hope that they just, like, sign into a contract.
Is this
Victorian baby doll that only screams blitz. Interesting.
Well, Spencer, remember the law of extremely confident Gary Barta. I think you have to believe it first.
Wow.
Oh shit.
God.
Also, why do you got to do that to West Virginia? Like, what have they ever done to you? They've shown you hospitality. They've like provided you with entertainment. I don't see why you got to dump them on them.
You know what? When it comes to curses, there are no heroes and there are no villains. There's only the next.
I mean, you know who needs a defensive coordinator? Notre Dame.
You know what? I think they need an aggressive, no-nonsense defensive coordinator.
Boy,
this is a great fit.
Can you imagine? Brian Kelly, Todd Grantham, having a chat.
It'd be like Inside Out if all the characters were angry.
Two angers.
These are our characters up here. This is anger, and this is anger, and this is anger, and this is farts. I don't know if it's mood.
Big Midwestern farts.
Yeah, big angry toots. That's what we got here. You know what? I'm really trying to find comfort in something that I can't find comfort in, i.e. hoping that a terrible defensive coordinator goes away. But you know what I can find comfort in? I think Jason can tell me a little something about it.
I'm going to guess you're talking about extremely comfortable, cool, collegiate apparel from Home Field Apparel, such as
mostly
shirts.
For the upper body.
Yeah.
Shirts, mostly hoodies, for the upper body. Very, very select pants, which you could perhaps wear on your upper body. Not enough pants. As
mermaid-friendly. Mermaid-friendly wear is what it is.
I would say mermaid-biased, to be quite honest.
It's mermaid, merman, merpeople, yeah.
Why is Connor biased against those of us with more than two major limbs?
That's a good question.
Honor, Connor, the floor is yours, sir. Answer for your crimes against the ocean.
The fact that he is paying to listen to this.
Also, you know what Home Field Apparel is not very good for? Snakes.
No, man. If they've got a pair of the Home Field Apparel sweatpants, which do not contain photos of the sad dog, they can share them.
It's true.
They could do that in a. They could do that in a shirt. You got two.
What
a hoodie.
A pant?
That's two sleeves.
What is a pant but a double? That's right. What is a pant but a double snake snuggie? And what is a hoodie but like an apartment for two snakes with like a roommate floor plan?
You got a whole living room in the middle.
So you're saying a hoodie is a common area. A hoodie is a snake church.
Here is the home field, and here is the steeple. Open up inside, and snakes.
Snakes eating people.
Poetry doesn't have to rhyme.
It's blank verse. You're doing great.
Homefieldapparel.com if you'd like to house your snakes in your clothes and occasionally borrow the clothes from the snakes. It would be recommended
to
buy
Ask
two
permission.
Hoodies, one for your snakes, one for you, and then maybe you can trade.
Sure.
If you do not have any clothes for snakes at this time, you're going to want to use offer code FULLCAST. If you have already purchased
snakes, you're wrong.
If you're unsure about whether you have snakes, go ahead and be certain. Can't be too careful. Can't ever have too many snakes. That's what I always say. Also, you're going to need to feed your snakes, right?
Yeah.
Snakes are expensive. Snakes are an expensive pet. Snakes are
only if you keep them confined.
If you keep them indoors.
My snakes have jobs, so they're sort of self-providing.
What jobs do your snakes do?
They're bloggers.
Okay, well, so like I said, they're a drain on the economy. And they're tanking
expensive.
Your household and
yeah.
totally worthless. But those snakes do have some amount of income. Because all
snake
blog posts,
horns.
snakehorns.com, acorns.com, offer code FULLCAST for a $5 booster kit to begin to provide for your snakes of the future. Do snakes live a long time? I've never had a snake.
Longer than you think.
Long enough to be terrifying.
How long do snakes live?
It's going to be a big range.
This lists one type of snake and says 9 years, but the thing people also ask is, can snakes live for 100 years? So
the larger a snake can grow, the longer it can live. All right, so boas can live over 50 years. So say you have a double boa, and this thing is going to live 100 years. All
like
right,
a
so
Georgia,
you got
longer than several uggas.
Yeah, that's like a desi ugga.
Say you have a boa, like. Bumpy with uggas that it swallowed.
Yeah, just like a whole.
Oh, God,
did you just say bumpy with uggas that
bumpy
it
with
like
uggas.
Swallowed?
Yeah, man, this
yeah,
thing
like
looks
like a corrugated snake.
It looks like a fucking pod of peas.
What combination of letters is right in the middle of the word corrugated? That's the real word. U G A.
What's that coming down the track? A boa constrictor, a snack.
You can skateboard across this top of this boa like.
Henry Kissinger just did a 780 off of the back of the snake.
of the back of
George's mask.
On the back of the 37 still digesting Uggas. Acorns.com to begin your investment portfolio today. It's simple and easy to sock away cash for the future. Ugga won't need that, of course. Ugga won't be around for that, but
no,
hey,
Jason, that's why they have the family plan.
We'll be on Ugga 7,000 by then. It's like Warhammer, where the emperor's been alive for 30,000 years. One of these days, one of the Uggas is going to outlast us all.
That's what the Acorns family investing plan is for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, start that Ugga Young with the Child plan, and that'll be the one that makes it.
I'll give everyone an update, by the way. It currently
an update off, on what?
On my Acorns portfolio performance.
Oh,
currently
I thought we were
up,
talking about junior high.
Currently up 41% from initial investment. Woo! Wow. 44 cents, baby. 44 cents.
Let's see. Cost of buying a snake. So again, a wide range. The internet says the cheapest garter snake is going to run you about $20. I mean, shit, I'll go grab one out of the front yard right
now.
Let's
get it from the yard, yeah.
Yeah.
My investment portfolio. Pull one out of the island in your yard.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it? It's pretty great. The kids used to be terrified of lizards and snakes and whatnot, but at this point they're just like, fuck it. It's there's so much nature, might as well.
World's ending anyway. Might as well get comfortable with this.
Yeah, they're out there like with machetes, like hacking through our bamboo jungle back there and the island in the front. It's great. If I don't say anything, they'll end up just doing yard work. But yeah, I could buy 6 garter snakes online with my Acorns retirement portfolio. So I could either retire or buy 6 snakes.
I think
the choice
retire.
Is yours.
I think you should retire personally
to be with my snakes. Yes.
That's it. All I care about are my 36 snakes.
Snake. Boss.
See, that Boss. Would be a hell of a way for a coach to step down. If, like, you know, wouldn't that be
Nick
great?
Nick Saban wins the title. Just, all right, I'm just gonna go hang out with my snakes.
Like, I think it's
They're
Frank.
Good
so
listeners. I just They're very like active listeners. People.
Wouldn't it be great if Gary Patterson was just like, well, we had a good run, built a lot of things here. Now it's time for me to retire to Arizona with my 58 snakes.
He's just
Gary
weird
Patterson's
enough to say
built
that.
Like a snake that's just eaten.
Yeah.
He's very distended.
He's like a coiled snake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think he could eat an entire bulldog and unhinge his jaw?
Oh, yeah.
Although
I think he can if you tell him you think he can't.
Wow.
Mm. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's good motivation.
Say, oh,
he's
fuck you.
Gonna,
and then
he's also going to extrude a lot of liquid during the process, which is gonna make
extrude.
I see the vision.
Right? Okay, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, he's gonna dehydrate the dog as it is in his mouth, making thereby there is less to digest.
He mummifies. He mummifies everything he touches, so that he can.
He's basically gonna make it into jerky.
As he's chewing the dog, it is turning to mere powder.
Wow.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, it was already powder because it's been real, real dead.
You know what? Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
The benefits of long-term investing. It's coming all back
Brought
around.
It back home, baby.
Yeah.
Having a slowly digesting dog in your stomach that you feed off of for months and months.
Wait, I got it. Who's that coming down the tract? Laugh, puppets.
That's the definition of long-term investing right there.
Yeah, Python is that's the shrewdest investor of all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Acorns.com/fullcast. Seeds in a garden you never get to see because you're inside a Python. Y'all remember Ogden Nash?
Yes.
Did you ever read his zoo poems?
No.
Some of them were... It's a tiny little book that... My mother had them in, and some of them were several pages long, and some of them were like 3 lines long. Mm-hmm. But the one I remember was about eels, and the whole poem goes like this. I don't mind eels, except as meals, and the way they feels. End of poem.
And this man made money writing these.
Ogden Nash was a god.
Is this
he
still...
He was probably super racist, and I don't even know about that, so please don't take me saying that he was a god personally.
Ogden Nash, super racist.
I know one
Thank
one
you, Ryan.
Ogden yeah, Nash welcome. Couplet. And it was
about... He might
about,
have fled the Nazis for all I know, or he might be awful. I don't know.
It was about an extremely nepotistic Hollywood producer who used his entire family, put his whole family on the payroll, and his name was Carl Laemmle, and the entire poem was, Carl Laemmle has a very large family.
Sure. One of the ratings for the Pocketbook of Ogden Nash still
yeah,
gave it...
That's all we had.
Still gave it 3 stars, says surprisingly racist at times, and not so surprisingly misogynistic at others. So,
wait, what? It's all about animals.
I don't know. Still gave it 3 stars out of 5.
I'm positive I'm missing something, because I only remember this and the poem about guppies. And the whole poem about guppies is just a list of what you call a baby animal. And then the last line is, guppies just have little guppies.
Jason, how would you feel if Jim Harbaugh checked the Falcons shop?
Oh, jeez. Ryan!
Ryan, I feel
bad. You can't sneak up on a man in the grass like
no,
that.
No, listen. No,
like fine. A snake!
I wasn't clear if we were out of the ad or not, so I had to steer us back into something. I don't know
out
what
of the ad and here. Into the adder.
I'll answer the question. I would feel bad, Ryan.
Okay.
Also, I'm not sure if we can afford him. We're like $25 million over the cap, so we're going to
for
either.
Who? For it, what?
I mean, for Matt Ryan plus Julio equals a salary cap.
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
Pretty worth much. It. Wait,
something. It seemed like it for a while.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's... Like you look at the Jags is like you walk in and you are create a GM in Madden. You can do whatever you want. You got 10 draft picks, the number one pick. You got a shitload of cap space. The Jags, other than like the father of a guy who runs a wrestling company is the actual GM. The Jags is an awesome job, you know, and the Chargers is a pretty nice job. The Falcons. The Texans? Texas, you get Deshaun Watson.
Oh, man.
Cool. That's yeah. it. The you got Texans, no draft picks ever.
The Texans is playing the Oregon Trail on like an unseen difficulty level.
Texas
like,
is playing.
You start with debt. You start with debt
Texans,
and you have to work off.
Dog, it's like you were playing Oregon Trail going east.
You're starting. hey, welcome to Oregon Trail Extreme. Guess what? You already have dysentery. You haven't even left your house. Have a great fucking time. Go
You're
Texans.
Playing Oregon Trail starting in the ocean.
You can't this swim.
Way. Hey, who traded all those draft picks away?
Bill O'Brien.
Future
Bill
Alabama
O'Brien.
Offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, that's just wanted to go ahead and tag that. Because whoever ends up being the Alabama offensive coordinator is going to be hilarious.
The you've seen the rumor, right? Like the funniest rumor?
Mm-mm.
The funnier than Bill O'Brien?
Adam Gase.
Adam Gase.
The Gase rumor? Yeah.
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 Like
that's
like the Coach Saban, let's really see how good you are at this. Right?
I think that is Nick Saban being like, oh, it's so much work. Like having to hire new help is so much work. Where can I find somebody who will never get poached?
Somebody else wants.
Someone who would never draw any interest from another college football team as for a head coach position.
I like how
I
even
say
that
this,
would backfire.
And Adam Gase is going to be the Tennessee head coach in 2 years.
Yeah, even that backfires. 2 years later, it's like, you know, this guy's worked for Nick Saban.
I mean, this is also such a harsh indictment of everyone else competing against Nick Saban, right? Because he's like, shit, it doesn't matter who I hire.
I'm so fucking
Look,
bored.
Yeah, do you see? God, these guys are so good. I'm so good at recruiting. And I just hand them off and like,
yeah,
hell,
offense,
I mean,
offensive coordinator
I got
is Bobcat Goldthwait. He's a funny guy. I think it's going to work out great.
it's going to be fine. Yeah, that's it. He's just like, got such contempt for offense that this is the final stage where he's like, I could plug anyone in there. I can put it, what? You throw to the fast guy. Like, that's the hard side of the ball.
It's like selling fireworks. Just, like, slap a new label on it. Who fucking cares?
Like, they're so talented. Adam Gase could just call the stupidest game plan. It's like, we haven't called a pass on first down in 8 games. We haven't called a pass on second down in 5 games. And we're still undefeated because everyone else sucks and I'm awesome.
I actually think with Adam Gase, they would take a step back, which is the funnier part.
That he could screw that up. And it'd be like, I think we throw to Devontae Smith too much.
7:20 p.m., January 5th, 2021. TVLine.com. Caillou canceled at PBS Kids.
Ja, fuck yes.
What a night. Kelly Loeffler and Caillou out of here.
The great scourges of our nation sent skittering.
Man,
our weirdest looking losers.
How did Caillou manage to have better hair than Kelly Loeffler? How did he pull that off?
He doesn't even have hair. That's just like...
He's got eyebrows. That's hair?
No, that's like some sort of loser flaky loser skin lint that
but
hangs off.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? He makes it work better than Kelly Loeffler's flat show dog bullshit.
Like I know an who's... Afghan hound with a malfunctioning flat iron.
But I don't like baseball.
Bye, bitch.